Brother David Brad is no stranger to this place, this pulpit. He's my friend, been a friend a long time. Loves the Lord. Pastors Cape Fear Baptist Church in Carolina Beach. Will you make Brother David Brad welcome tonight as he comes to preach the first message?
I love you, preacher. God bless you. You're my buddy.
Hallelujah. Good to see you tonight. Thank you so much for Brother Billy inviting us to be here in the service and the hotel. You know, you can't beat Hampton Inn. Now, if you work for somewhere else, I understand that, but you can't beat the Hampton Inn, and I praise the Lord for that. You know, the Bible says with man it's impossible, but not with God. Amen. All things are possible. I was watching that young man sing, and I thought about my own life. I thought about what I was before the Lord saved me. Amen. I didn't know nothing. Couldn't do nothing. I'm not being disrespectful. But I just thank God. A couple of things I want to say. You know, I met Brother Billy more than 25 years ago through Brother Kenny Ditchman. And a lot of you knew Brother Kenny. And Brother Kenny was always cutting up. And I remember going to Greensboro Bible Institute. We was all in a Greek class. It was several of us, and Kenny always had something going on in Greek class, because you know the way it is. When you can't learn something, you don't want nobody else to learn it either. So we did manage to learn the alphabet, amen? And I know Alpha is first and Omega's last, so, and there's a bunch of them in between. But anyway, when Brother Billy invited me to come preach, you know, it blesses my heart that anybody would invite us to come preach. I'm a pastor. I love my people, love preaching in my church, and it's always an honor. And I always think about Brother Kenny when Brother Billy had asked me that, because Kenny told me one time, he said, "You can't pay attention to nothing Brother Billy does. He'll let anybody preach." And so I think about that every time I get invited. I thought, I'm anybody, amen? But it is a blessing. I wanted to read something to you. This is June, and you know, a lot of couples get married. Miss Angie and I have been to a couple of weddings here in the last 3 or 4 weeks. Beautiful weddings and great venues and godly young couples, and a couple of graduations as well. But I wanted to read something to you. I was thinking about a couple in Florida that wanted to get married. The groom-to-be was 92, and the bride-to-be was 89. They passed a drugstore one day and decided to go in and look around. Well, the groom-to-be said to the man behind the counter, he said, "We're getting married. Do you sell heart medication?" The man said, "Of course." The questions continued. "How about medication for circulation, rheumatism, scoliosis, memory, arthritis, and jaundice?" The salesman answered, "Absolutely, we sell them all." The groom-to-be continued, "Do you sell vitamins, sleeping pills, Geritol?" The man behind the counter said, "Yes." He asked, "What about wheelchairs and canes and walkers?" The salesman said, "All speeds and sizes." So the groom looked to his wife and said, "Great, we'd like to use this store as our bridal registry." Praise God. 92 and 89. I've always prayed me and Miss Angie would grow old together, amen? That way we only have to buy one walker, okay? She'd get on the front and I'll get on the back. I want to read some scripture to you this evening, the book of Hebrews. If you would turn to Hebrews chapter 11. And of course, we talk about this being the chapter of faith, the heroes of faith. And I just want to skim over. I know last year I preached on the subject of who has helped you, that no man is an island. Everybody has somebody, multiple people in your life that help you to become who you are. Now, I understand the Holy Spirit of God. As a Christian, He's with you and in you, and He guides you. But God uses people to get His work done, right? And I read the whole chapter, and I'm not going to do that tonight, but I am going to skim over it. Verse 4, it says, by faith Abel. Verse 5, by faith Enoch. Verse 7, by faith Noah. Verse 8, by faith Abraham. Verse 20, by faith Isaac. Verse 21, by faith Jacob. Verse 22, by faith Joseph. Verse 23, by faith Moses. Verse 29, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned. Verse 30, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. Verse 31, by faith the harlot Rahab. And then verse 32, and what shall I say more, the Bible says, for the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and of Samson and Jephthah and David also and Samuel and other prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in flight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. We'll stop there. Father, I pray now that You would guide me through this message. You would preach through me. Lord, I need Your help tonight. I want to be a help and a blessing to these dear people here at this Thursday night of their Jubilee. Lord, I just pray now You'd speak to our hearts. May we be tender to the leading of the Holy Spirit of God. Maybe there's somebody here lost. We pray that You'd save them. We pray, God, for those Christians that may be discouraged or indifferent, that You would speak to their hearts accordingly. We thank You so much for what we've felt thus far, and we just pray now and You would have Your way. We want You to always have the preeminence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Thank you so very much. Tonight, I want to bring a message to you entitled, I Want My Life to Count. I Want My Life to Count. I was at a graduation ceremony back in the middle of May at Wilmington Christian Academy. And of course, in a Christian academy, you have the luxury or the blessing of not having a whole lot of seniors that are graduating. I think it was 33 young men and women were graduating from the Wilmington Christian Academy. Now, in contrast, I also went to one of our other young men that was graduating from Eugene Ashley High School in Wilmington, 470 graduates. Now, that's a whole lot of graduates. That's a whole, and Mason's last name was Vincent. So there wasn't but about 15 behind him. So I think we sat there for close to 3 hours waiting on him to graduate. But anyway, we were there at the graduation, and the school was able to, as the graduates were being introduced, they were able to put a picture of the student up, and they had a little baby picture, and then a picture when they were you know, 10, 11, or 12, and then a picture of their graduation photos. And in each one of them, the student, there was a video or an audio of the student thanking mom or dad or whoever it was, and telling them how much they meant to them and what they've done in their life. And down below the name, it gave the school or the occupation or the vocation or what the student had planned on doing for the future. And it was very moving and touching and personal, and it really moved my heart to know that these kids that were graduating were going on to bigger and better things. Now we talk about they're graduating, so that's the end of that part of their lives. But truly, their lives are really just beginning to start. They're going out into the big bad world, and that's exactly what it is. It's a big bad world, and you could tell that these kids, and as they spoke, each of them as they got their diploma, some were able to speak, and I mean, I was impressed with the clarity by which they spoke, and you know, it was more than just huh, yeah, cool, you know, it was more than that. They were talking. They could hold a conversation with people, and so the pastor of the church got up and he gave a little address that was to the students and also to the people that were in the sanctuary there. And he was talking about how they were going out into the world, and that as a child of God, as you and I, born again by the Spirit of God, as a child of God, God has gifted us. We've been gifted. The Holy Spirit gives us gifts for the church, for the body of Christ. And God expects us to use those gifts to edify that body, to build up the church, to be a blessing, and to be light to a lost and dark and dying world. And these are 17 and 18-year-old children. I'll say children because, you know, that's what they were. But it impressed me, and I thought, you know what? I want my life to count. I want my life to count for something. And I was reading through Hebrews chapter 11, and there are some names that we recognize. We recognize Abel, and we recognize Noah, and we recognize Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph, and we recognize Moses, and the Bible talks about and gives scripture pertaining to what they did. But there's also some scripture here that talks about many other heroes of faith whose names we don't know. We don't have any idea who they are. But the Bible tells us what happened to them. Now, a lot of you that are here tonight, I know some of you. Some of you I don't know. But I want you to know that God wants your life to count. Amen? He wants you to have a part in His plan. And these people here had a part in God's plan for man. Their lives meant something. It meant something to Him. They meant something to them. Their lives meant something to others. Their lives had value. Their lives were important. Their lives had influence. Their lives counted for something. Amen? I want my life to count. I want to be good for something. I don't want to be good for nothing. Amen? I want my life to add up to something. You know, the Bible tells us in Psalm 90 in verse 12, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. Now, how do we do that? We do that consciously or unconsciously. You have a birthday every year, don't you? You count that. You have an anniversary. You count that. The day you got saved, August the 16th, 1990, my wife and I got saved at the same time. We're spiritual twins. We count that. But God wants you to count your days, not your weeks, not your months, not your years. He wants you to make every day count for something. He wants you to make every day count for Him. You see, I want the Lord to be able to count on me. I want to be profitable to the ministry. I want to be able to make God a profit. I was looking, brother, at you, and I thought, that looks a whole lot like a cash register. I didn't see you putting quarters in it to play your piano there, so I don't know what that is. But it looked like a cash register. And I thought, well, he's adding it up. I want to be counted in. I don't want to be counted out. Amen? I want my life to count for her. I want my life to count for my spouse. You know, she and I were married 10 years. 10 years before we got saved. Her daddy used to say we were good sinners. We weren't bad sinners. We're good sinners. Had good jobs. Worked. My wife, you know, she never laid out of work, and she always tried to encourage me to go to work all the time, too. I wasn't lazy. I worked, had a good job, and we did what we wanted to do. But a preacher come knocked on my door one night and said, David, do you know you got to be born again to go to heaven? I said, no, I didn't know that. What do I need to do? And he opened up a little brown Gideon's Bible he took out of his shirt pocket, and I got that Bible. And he opened it up. We knelt there at the couch. And she said, if he's going to get saved, I'm getting saved too. I said, come on, babe. We've done everything together. Now, not only am I her husband, but she reminds me from time to time. She said, be careful. You're my pastor too. And I thought, uh-oh. But I want my life to count for her. I want her to know that I'm a man that loves her and her only. And I'm a man that loves Jesus. And I'm a man that tries to pray and read my Bible every day. Try to do what God has called me to do. Try to use the gifts that God has gifted me with to make my life count for her. My spouse. Husbands and wives, those of you that are here this evening and are married, maybe you're young and you're courting or whatever it may be, you want your life to count for your spouse, don't you? I mean, you know, every once in a while, and we don't never go to sleep angry at each other. We might be angry before we go to sleep, but we don't go to sleep angry. And I want to always make sure that I'm right with her. Amen? Because I'm her biggest fan. And she tells me, she says, when pastors' wives are good at seeing things that the pastor sometimes can't see. All you pastors here say amen right there. And I may say something, but she says, David, she said, I'm on your side. She said, I'm not an enemy. I'm on your side. I want this thing to work. We want God to be glorified in everything we do. So I want my life to count for my spouse. I want my life to count for my son. Many of you know Adam died 7 years ago, 18 years old, the only child that Angie and I had. He got saved 40 days before he died. When Adam turned 18, he wanted to go live down on the island, down on the beach. He had a friend of his whose family lived in a hotel room. not a house, but a family of four lived in a hotel room. And he wanted to go down and live. I said, okay, yeah, that's fine. If that's what you want to do, he was old enough. I said, you can do that. Because I done told him, I said, son, you can't live with us and do some of the things that you're doing. He had heard me give a testimony time and again of how I grew up drinking and drugging, doing things I do. And I talked to him about it. And he said, look, Daddy, look at y'all. He said, you got saved at 33. Look at your life, what you did growing up. And sometimes I wished I'd have never, ever testified of the things that I had done. But God has used that over the years. But anyway, Adam moved down on the island, but he never missed church. He never missed church. He always came to church. And he was my little evangelist. I mean, he would bring people to church with him. He'd call me up one time and he said, Daddy, there's some people down here and ain't got no gas. Can we get them some gas? One time he said, Daddy, I don't know how people live on peanut butter and jelly sandwiches all the time. He said, that's all they eat, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. He said, I know what you're talking about, how people live and just barely live. He said, I know what you're talking about. One night he came home. He had got the flu. He said, Daddy, can I come home? I said, sure. He came home. He got better. He said, I want to go back down there and live. I said, that's fine. You go ahead. And a little while later, he got sick again. And he came. He said, I want to come home. I want to come home and stay. Well, he came home at night. And I prayed over him. I laid across the bed over him and prayed all night long. And he got saved. And 40 days later, he died. But for them 40 days, God gave us a new boy. It was like, Brother Billy, it was like he was 10 years old again. Innocent Adam. And we had the best time, me and him and his mama. And we just did all kinds of things together. But God chose to take him on. But he always said, I watch y'all. And he said, I see you true to God. He said that your faith is real. And so I wanted my life to count for that boy. All I can do is lead him. All you can do, Mom and Dad, you got a wayward young'un. All you can do is lead him to Jesus. All you can do is point him to Jesus. You can't make them do nothing, but you can live a life that counts for them and let them see that he's real. Amen. I want my life to count for my spouse. I want my life to count for my son. I want my life to count for my siblings. I had 7 brothers and sisters. My mama stayed barefoot and pregnant. She did. My mama never wore shoes in the summertime. Bless her heart. But anyway, it was 8 of us. Well, when I got saved, all my older brothers had young'uns that was almost as old as me. And we had been, partying, drinking, pig pickings and a lot of stuff like that. But I got saved. And all my family had seen what I used to be. They knew me. But now I've changed. One of my nephews asked me one time, they called me Uncle Booger. Is what they call me, because they's always picking on me. You'll get that in a little while. He said, Uncle Booger, how did you change? He said, we can't believe what happened to you. And so I began to tell him what happened to me. I met Jesus, amen? And God changed me from the inside out. Amen. And so it's been a long time. It's been almost 30 years. I was saved in 1990. It'll be 29 years this August. All my family's not saved. All my family's not saved. I got a big family, but they're not all saved. But I can tell you that my life has counted for them. Some of my nephews' young'uns are beginning to get saved. I had one of my nephews. His son is about 8 years old. I was at their house not long ago, and Kevin said, tell Uncle David what happened to you. He said, Uncle David, I got saved. And buddy, I want you to know I had a shouting fit right there. Little Wade Brady, 8 years old, got saved, and he couldn't wait to tell his Uncle David. I want my life to count for my spouse, my son, my siblings. I want my life to count for my parents, amen? Now, my mom and daddy were both alive when I got saved. And I got saved on a Thursday night. Friday I went and tell my mom that I got saved. We were sitting on the front porch, you know, something people don't do no more. They don't sit on the front porch and just talk and enjoy the summer. But anyway, she started crying. But when I was a little boy, my mama didn't go to church. When I was a little boy, my daddy didn't go to church. But I got saved and started going to church. And it wasn't long my daddy got saved. My mama told me she was saved. She had gotten saved in a tent meeting. So I said, okay, I believe you, but I never saw no fruit. But anyway, my daddy got saved. And so my life, I wanted it to count for my parents. I want my life to count for my friends, people that I used to party with, what I used to be. I was pastoring in Burlington, Piedmont Baptist Church there, and it was on Webb Avenue, and Webb Avenue is Highway 87. And if any of you have been in Burlington, you've been up Highway 87 because it goes right through town. And we put up a big marquee there in front of the church, and my name was there, and I had people to come in on a Sunday, and they would come in, and I said, hey, I know you. We went to school together. They said, yeah, we wanted to make sure the name out there was the same person we knew in high school. I said, that's me. I said, I got saved, and God was doing some things in my life and doing things now in my life, and I wanted my life to count for my friends, amen. Don't you want to see your family and friends get saved? Amen. Hey, when God saves you, God changes you from the inside out. You're not the same person you used to be. Old things ought to pass away. I used to go to the pool hall every day. And when I got saved, I ain't been back. Now, wonder why that is. Wonder why I didn't have a desire. I mean, some people say, well, I'll go back down to the pool hall. I won't drink no beer. I'll just sit at the bar and watch him play pool, and I'll drink a Coca-Cola. Well, if you can do that, that's fine. But they thought Angie and I had done joined a cult. They thought we was in a big compound with a big fence around it. And somebody said, we're going to find out about this Chris Hazlip. We're going to find out about what's going on with him. He's done brainwashed y'all. I said, no, we ain't brainwashed. And we ain't crazy. We're just saved. Amen? So you want your life to count. You want your life to count for your family. You want your life to count for your friends. You want your life to count for your foes. For your enemies. I mean, you've got to be what God wants you to be in front of everybody. Amen? They're not going to like it. I've had people curse me. I've had people to do all kinds of things. If you do anything for God, that's going to happen at some point in your life, whether you knock on somebody's door or visit somebody in the hospital or go to the jail or go to the rest home or wherever God sends you, there's going to be a time somebody's not going to like what you say. And if you've got on the whole armor of God and understand that you're a soldier for Jesus Christ, you got to be prepared to hurt people. When you tell them the truth in love, amen? Truth hurts to somebody that's lost, amen? They can't handle the truth like, oh, what's his name said. They didn't stop. The disciples didn't stop. They didn't let their enemies stop them, amen? The apostle Peter was put into prison. He got set free. That didn't stop him, amen? The Pharisees, they said, let's beat them and then we'll let them go. And don't y'all say nothing else about Jesus, but they said, we can't help but say something about it because of what he's done for you. That little boy standing there doing this right here, amen. You think about that for a little while, amen. I know mom and daddy on the inside is just busting out all over for what God's done in his young life, amen. But you think about your own life, where you were and what you was doing, and God had his hounds on your tail, amen. And you got saved and God brought you out of the mire and put you in the choir. Amen. You want your life to count. I want my life to count for my future. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make you rule over many things. Amen? Amen. I want to hear those words. Of all the things about heaven that I'm excited about, the most exciting thing that thrills my soul is to hear Jesus speak to me. I want to hear him speak to me. And I want to hear him say, well done. Well done. I want my life to count for my future. I want to be faithful. Amen. I want to be fruitful. The Bible says that their works do follow them. You go to heaven, you rest from your labors, and your works follow you. I want my life to count. I want to be faithful. I want to be fruitful, and I want to finish. Paul said he finished. He fought a good fight. He finished his course. He kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which a righteous judge shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all them also that love his appearance. I want my life to count. You see, before I got saved, I was a big mouth. I had the run of the mill. I was a supervisor. I was a supervisor over the maintenance department. And I knew everybody, 300 people in that mill. And they all knew me. I'd get in front of Christians and I might say something off color just to provoke them, see what they would do. And a lot of them would just stand there and wouldn't do anything. But when I got saved and went, apologized to all these people and told them God saved me, and did something in my life, and God began to work in my heart, and that big mouth that I was using for the devil, look what I'm doing now. Amen. I mean, I'm just me. I'm just who God made me to be. And so, you know, when I first got called to preach, I tried to preach like Chris Hazlett. I can't do that. Amen. I was called to preach. Brother Joe Arthur was preaching, and he jumped off the platform at Friendship Baptist and broke his ankle. He said, I think I broke my ankle. But I tried to preach like him. I can't do that. I got to be me. You got to be you. If I'll be me, I'll be the best me that I can be. But if you try to be somebody else, you'll always be a second-rate person. You can't never be nobody else because somebody else is already them. Did I say that? I want my life to count. I want to be faithful, fruitful, and I want to finish, and I want my life to count for my Father. I want the Lord to say, well done. I don't want to be fretful. I don't want to be fearful. I don't want to be faithless. I don't want to be fatherless. And I don't want to be a failure. I want him to count on me because I count on him. I want to finish. I want to read something to you. You've probably heard this before. It's a little poem about the dash. The date you're born, the date you die, and between those two dates is a dash. I read of a man who stood to speak at the funeral of a friend. He referred to the dates on his tombstone from the beginning to the end. He noted that first came the date of his birth, and spoke of the following date with tears. But he said what mattered most of all was the dash between those years. For that dash represents all the time that he spent alive on earth. And now only those who loved him know what that little line is worth. For it matters not how much we own, the cars, the house, the cash. What matters is how we live and love and how we spend our dash. So think about this long and hard. Are there things you'd like to change? For you never know how much time is left. That can still be rearranged. If we could just slow down enough to consider what's true and real, and always try to understand the way other people feel. And be less quick to anger and show appreciation more. Love the people in our lives like we've never loved before. If we treat each other with respect and more often wear a smile, remembering that this special dash might only last a little while. So when your eulogy is being read with your life's actions to rehash, would you be proud of the things they say about how you spent your dash? You want your life to count. Every one of you are worth something to God, just like this family. Every one of you are worth something. If you'll do your part, you'll make your life count. Somebody, somewhere will get some help from you. Amen? Amen. Brother Billy.